Well, hello, hello, my beautiful friend. Welcome to your audio lovegram. Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, or middle of the night, whenever you might be listening. I'm thinking of you and sending you so much love. We're in November now, and I'm thinking about the holidays, and I'm not thinking about the holidays in terms of the way that, you know, the stores are thinking about the holidays and putting up all the merchandise and hanging all these crazy decorations and trying to get you to buy stuff. I'm thinking about the holidays a lot because next week I am going to be doing a short workshop, and I will put some information, and this is just kind of like an aside. It's a free workshop that's being held in Mill Valley, California. So if you happen to be nearby, I would surely love to meet you. I'll put the information in my email to you. But the reason I'm telling you that is because it's been on my mind, because the workshop is really about how to make the holidays our own, how to set them up so that perhaps they can be a little less stressful, or if they're too dull, they could be more interesting, or if you want more peace, then we, you know, how to have more peace. If you want more connection and hoopla, it's really just about, you know, for a lot of people, and this may or may not be you, so just take it with a grain of salt, I guess, whatever. I don't even know what that expression means, but for a lot of people, the holidays can be filled with a lot of obligations that may not necessarily be aligned with our values, right? They could be filled with a sense of, well, I have to buy gifts for this and this person, or I have to cook this and this and this and this, or I have to have these people over, or go to these people's houses, or this is the way it's always been done. And I guess I just wanted to open up the conversation while there's still time to just give people a sense of agency over it, you know, a sense of actually things don't have to always be done the way that they were done ever since great-great-grandma did this, or, you know, this is what so-and-so always wants. Just want to open up the conversation. And it's November, what? I don't know. It's still early November. I don't know what day it is. It's still early enough in November that there's time for you to reflect on this for yourself and to also perhaps start to put into place. Maybe it's just the smallest of tiny steps that will make a little bit of a difference in your life. You know, it may not be a huge change, or maybe it will be. Or maybe you're quite happy with things the way they are, and in that case, reflecting on it will give you a sense of satisfaction that, oh, actually, I really love the way the holidays are in my life, and I'm happy not to have any changes. So it could be like that. And so, I guess for one thing, I just would love for you to, as you're listening to this right now, think about, you know, am I happy with the way that I expect that the holidays will unfold this year? And then when I say holidays, I specifically mean anything you celebrate, right? It could be Thanksgiving. It could be any other winter holidays that come up. It may be just like family holidays that are happening in the winter, or family rituals. But are you happy with the way that they typically unfold, or the way that you see them unfolding this coming season? And, you know, if not, if there's a sense that, you know, you would like something a little bit different, is it that you want things to be quieter, or you want them to be more rambunctious? Would you want things to be more creative? Would you want them to have less consumerism or materialism? Would you do gift giving differently or not at all? Or if you don't do it at all, would you want to do it? You know, just kind of thinking about, like, if you could just wave a wand and have the holidays feel a little more suited to you, what would that be? And of course, you know, I'm going to keep talking, and so you may not have time to really fully think of this right now, but what I'm hoping is that this is simply planting a seed, right? Planting a seed for the idea, which I think sometimes we forget that just because things have always been done a certain way, that doesn't mean we can't have changes. We can't encourage changes or suggest changes or, gosh, in some cases, demand changes. If, you know, for instance, I think one of the common things that happens for a lot of people, and again, whether we're talking about Thanksgiving or any time after that through New Year's, is that sometimes people feel exhausted. It's very common that time of year for people to feel overextended and also to have the budget feel like it's been overextended, you know, spending way more on food and gifts and travel and especially this year, things that, you know, prices are higher here, at least in the United States. And so just in the interest of how to have a whole life that feels more aligned with who you are and your values, to be thinking of these things. And I don't, of course, I was going to say I don't have any answers. Of course I don't have any answers. I never have any answers. But more as a coach, you know, always more just my job to give us space. I really love that about coaching, is that I feel like having space to think about things, having space for questions and just to kind of reflect is such a gift. And oftentimes we're either too busy to have that kind of space to think of things, or it's just harder to do on our own. You know, it's harder. I'm sure most of you aren't just walking around and then suddenly think, oh, I should design the holidays differently, or maybe I should think about how I might like to tweak the holidays this year. It's just easier when someone else is creating a space, which I consider these love grams to be. It's our space to talk and connect and be in conversation. And as I've said many times before, I'm so grateful to you, because having you on the other side, whether you're, you know, reaching back via email or not, whether you're, you know, some people send their thoughts, some people don't, and it's still all of you matter, each and every one of you, because I feel like we're in a conversation together. And if you weren't there on the other side of this, it would just be me, right, walking around. And I probably wouldn't be pondering all these things. So just a little commercial break to thank you for that. Thank you for showing up and for who you are. And I got distracted. I walked by a house and there was some music playing and it was really lovely. I always like that. There's something about that. It's both uplifting and there's just a tiny bit of also like melancholy, like, oh, you know, those people are in their house listening to music. I'm not, you know, something like that. So let me think for a moment if there's anything else that I wanted to say. Well, yes, there is. So I know that there are people listening right now who have heard me talk about the love list probably over and over again. And there are probably people here who have not. And I just got off a this week doing a podcast interview with someone about Say It Now and one-of-a-kind gifts and, of course, the love list and the holidays coming up. And I guess I just want to put in just a small plug here that it's a practice. And I know that many times when I talk about the love list, or maybe you've heard about it, oh, I should probably say what it is. The love list is a practice. It's a specific list of reasons why we love someone. And that list could include attributes about who they are, you know, memories, could be things that they've given you as far as like wisdom or care, love, and their unique ways of doing that. There's a thousand different ways to make a love list. But what I want to say is that it is a practice. And so what I hope is that even if you're someone who has made one or 10 or 20 love lists, when you're listening to this again, I want you to think about like how it felt to make those, how it felt to give them, the different kinds of responses you got, how you felt about it. And if you're someone who's never made one, I want you to consider taking on the challenge of creating at least one to give to someone around Thanksgiving time. And to really challenge yourself. I'm trying to think of how I want to phrase this. I guess because, not so much because, obviously not because I'm asking you to, but because it really matters, right? That it's like training ourselves. The reason I'm calling it a practice is for two reasons. One, we're training ourselves to look for what's good. Oftentimes, our squawky poly minds will try to, you know, keep a list of all the things that people have, how they've wronged us, you know, how they've failed us or betrayed us or, you know, forgotten something or hurt us. And when we create a love list, it's a way of training our mind to look for the good. And it's also a way of allowing our bodies to feel that joy. And I often say that the love list is, it's a combination of a meditation practice and a gratitude practice and a gift giving practice. It's all of those. And so to consider that and to consider who you are, you know, with every love list you create and you give, how does that change your life? Because I know in my life, it has drastically changed a lot of relationships. It's deepened them in really unexpected ways. And it brings meaning and a depth and an appreciation to these relationships in my life and thus to my life as a whole. And I hope this is making sense. I'm hoping that you have this experience, and if you don't, that you might consider after listening to this, like, okay, you know, this girl's been talking about these love lists forever. She says she's changed her, it's changed her life. I'm going to make my first one, or I'm going to make my 100th one, because I really want to be the sort of person who is always training myself to feel more love, right? To feel more appreciation, because it's fun and because it's meaningful and because it's fulfilling for us. So that's my commercial, and the two fit together for me, the idea of designing our holidays and the love list, because for me, it represents, doing the love list represents gifts of love. You know, that it really represents just shift away from materialism to more meaningful. Not that material gifts can't be meaningful. I don't mean to imply that. But but that to let ourselves know that gifts are not always material things. There are time, there are energy, there are presence, there are love, there are understanding, our compassion. There are the way that we show up with people. There are the way that we appreciate people. All of those are gifts. And as we head into the holiday season, still plenty of time, you know, to consider that. And if finances are an issue this year, that, you know, could you allow yourself to consider designing a holiday season this year that maybe there's not as much spending money and there's more spacious time with people. So I hope that maybe there might be some of you listening to this who are in the Bay Area, and maybe you'll join me for the workshop. And I will put that information. It would be so much fun to meet you, or if I've met you before, to see you again. And for those of you who are not near here, I'm going to keep talking about this. I will definitely post some more after the workshop, because I'm sure I'll be, you know, seeing more and learning more. And in the meantime, sending you love. Thank you for being here.